just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My dear brother and sister, in building a house, the foundation is the most important thing. It must be solid, it must be straight and level. It is no different in building a spiritual house or a spiritual life for ourselves. We need to pay attention to the foundation. And there is no better foundation than our God himself. Gives us his grace. He invites us onto himself. We can stand on him. We can build our life on his grace, which gives us access into the heavenly family. History and time have proven time and again that those that trust in the grace of God are never fooled, never will regret it, and never fail, never collapse, because they built on a rock that does not move, that is solid. And that rock is our Father in heaven. We learn a lesson from our predecessors in the faith, the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And I tell you, I am a reader of biographies. I love biographies. I read a lot of biographies. Because you can learn, go to school, from the experience of those that walked before you. Now, a word of caution. From some, you learn how to live. And from some, how not to live. What to do and what not to do. The same applies to the Israelites that walked out of Egypt. Sometimes they were all there, just as God wanted a people unto himself. One commandment, slaughter a lamb, take the blood, and mark your doorposts, so that the avenger will know he's in me. They did that. And when they were told to march out of Egypt, they went, a great band of Jews, Israelites, under the leadership of that great man of God, Moses. Great because God had made him great. And they follow Moses without any trouble until they got to the Red Sea, a little town around there called Pi Hahiroth turned out to be a pickle to them, a big problem. There was desert to the south and to the north, and from the back, Pharaoh and his army was coming down on them to destroy them. And as soon as they felt powerless, they cried out to God. So you brought us out here to be slaughtered here by Pharaoh's army. They just couldn't take it. They abandoned God. They wanted to go back and surrender to Pharaoh. Moses prayed, and God said pretty much to Moses, shut up. Tell the people of Israel to march forward. And you, strike the water with your rod. And the water parted. God showed his ways to Moses and to his people Israel. Ways that they could not even imagine. I don't know what this mess with the coronavirus will end up being. What it will do to us as a country, as a nation, as a world. I have no clue. But I have learned too many lessons from the past to worry about it. Because God is in control and it's going to go exactly like he does. And if that happens, I am content. Because what God dishes out, even if it is a pie I wrote, a moment of trembling and shaking and doubting that he is truly there, I will rest secure in my faith. He gave me his grace. What else can he possibly withhold from me? Health, finances, economy, food, housing, clothing. He promised. He promised specifically this to his disciples, Jesus did, that we should not worry about food or clothing or housing, that God takes care of the birds, and that we are worth much more than the birds. So our faith is in God and not in present circumstances. Definitely not on Wall Street. Definitely not on Caesar, the governments. No. Our faith is in God. And to every high I wrote, God provides a Baal Zephon. Moses crossed the sea and camped in the neighborhood of Baal Zephon, camping there. And while they are there, they notice a cloud. Oh, this is nice. And at night, that cloud slipped into a column of fire that protected them from wild beasts of the desert, gave them light, and reminded them that God was with them. Baal Zephon, relief for the trouble. To every problem, a solution comes from God. To every illness, a healing. To every weakness, his power and strength. To every threat, the elimination of the threat. So God walked with them all through the desert into the Holy Land. God will walk with you and me through this wilderness into heaven. That's what we want. For every problem, God has a solution. No food? Oh, they rebelled against God. God gave them manna, bread, on the desert floor that rained down overnight. In the morning they would collect, and God said, don't bother to collect for tomorrow and the day after, because this is going to be your daily portion. Just take as much as you want to eat in one day. All of a sudden they were sick of that. So God sends them meat, quail. And the desert floor was full of quail. Now they had meat. Then they had no water. In a place called Marah, where they had been camping. And God said, Moses, just hit that rock and it'll produce water. By then Moses had his fill of their rebellion and their constant crying. And he took his rod and struck the rock twice. God said, strike it once. And the water came out bitter. Moses had a temper. So now what do I do? God said, did you learn your lesson? Strike the rock again, and the water will become normal drinking water. Out of a rock. God does what he wants, not what makes sense to you and me. For that reason, I am completely happy and content in leaving this whole coronavirus into his hands. For every sin and rebellion, God also offers forgiveness. He so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Salvation is by faith, not through good works. Oh, see, I am in church. I support the missions. I help my neighbor. Not because of that. You have been saved in the past. Now you can be good and do the things that you do. What we do today is a direct consequence of what God did in our past for us, when he adopted us into his family and said, now, from now on, wherever you go, I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that little cloud comes with Christ first died for us, says Paul, while we were yet sinners. That is 100% grace. Grace is undeserved love. People that did not even want the grace of God received the grace of God. That is God's unlimited love at work. During the Sundays of Lent, the theme of God's grace and forgiveness is a constant. Remember, the Sundays are called Sundays in Lent, not of Lent. So the theme diverges from the theme of Lent, which is introspection, repentance, sadness, contrition for our sins. The Sundays in Lent pick up our chin again and say, come on now, your sin is forgiven. Every time, every Sunday in Lent presents a healthy dose and a focus on God's love, God's grace.